Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
American Glutton Podcast has a Patreon. Do you hate commercials? Well, we've got a Patreon. Do you want bonus episodes? That's on the Patreon. Do you want to hang out and chat in our Discord channel? That's part of the Patreon too. We even have an option where you can leave me voicemails. All on the Patreon. So check it out today. Patreon.com/AmericanGlutton. We have a Patreon.
Hi. I'm Ethan Suplee. Welcome to American Glutton. Outside of acting, my two favorite things to do are diet and eat. I have a very complicated relationship with food, and on this podcast, we're going to talk about all of it. Food as entertainment. Food as sport. Food as fuel. I'll talk to experts and the average person, just like you and me.
I hate to ask you to do anything, but if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment to like, subscribe, rate, review, all of the above on whatever app you're getting it from. American Glutton is brought to you by Trifecta. The biggest factor in weight loss for me has been knowing ahead of time what I'm going to eat and having it ready when I need it. Trifecta meal deliveries have made this completely effortless for me and have been a total game changer in both diet and maintenance. Go to www.trifectanutrition.com/AmericanGlutton to make your life and physical goals a whole lot easier.
Today on American Glutton, I'm talking to Scott Gorman. Scott has been coaching and intervening on those suffering from alcohol and substance use disorders for over 25 years. He has been a pioneer in the recovery coaching movement, focusing on film, television, music, and professional sports industries. He was the certified interventionist and recovery coach consultant for the National Football League Players Association for 5 seasons and was the chief aide to the owner CEO of the Indianapolis Colts for 9 seasons. Scott can be found at firmarecovery.com. Scott Gorman, welcome to the American Glutton Podcast.
Thank you, E. Gosh, it's so good to see you. I can't begin to tell you.
Good to see you too.
My head's blowing up.
Okay, for the purposes of the audience, let's give them just a backstory on how we know each other. And obviously, I've given you permission. You can say whatever you want about me, which normally we don't talk about this stuff.
Like, correct.
Yeah.
So what was it, 20 plus years ago?
Yeah, it was late 90s or
yeah.
Or
when
maybe
did you start filming John Q?
I think it was the year 2000. So 22 like years ago.
Exactly. So a friend of E's that I knew contacted me and said, my dear friend is going to work on a show, needs some help. He's struggling a little bit. And can you help him? And what I had done prior to that was I helped actors, athletes, and musicians kind of get right that suffered from substance use and alcohol use disorder. And I would go on set and be with them for 24/7. And that's how I came to be in Ethan's life. And boy, did we have fun. And I'm going to let you dig into some other stories, but just a blessing. And I have such fond memories of us being in Canada.
Yeah.
And being on that set. And
I was
my friends had an intervention and they basically were like, look, dude, this is, you are on the path to death, very rapidly approaching it. We are pleading with you to do something. And I said, okay, I'll do something. And then, you know, I didn't do anything. I probably did more drugs and then they surprised me again with another one. And at this one, I was leaving very soon to go do this movie. And they said, we want to help. We know this guy, he'll help you through this. And so like the first week in Canada, I was very, very sick.
Yes.
You know,
massive amounts of, as I call it, polypharma going in that body of yours.
Yeah. So you helped very much with that because, you know, I don't know that I was, you know, having gone through this a number of times, you start to rationalize everything and you're like, no, the junkies don't die. It's the boozers who die when they quit booze, right? Or the guys who are taking 500 Xanax a day, those guys die, but heroin doesn't kill you when you quit. It's just miserable. So, but that said, in a strange town, on first, you know, every job it's like the first day at school, you don't know anyone. And here I am kicking heroin and very, very sick. And like you got me through it, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It just brings tears to my eyes. So many of those experiences. And I'm so glad one of my dear actor friends, my mantra to him was, stay vertical, dude.
Yeah.
Stay vertical. Because if we're vertical, we got a chance, right?
Right.
And you have done that. And I'm just like, thank you, whatever's out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do feel like a bit of a miracle in that sense.
Well, to that word, here's miracle. It gets bandied about in recovery all the time. Oh, he's a miracle. He's a miracle. This is what it means to me. The best definition, a miracle is defined as something that can't happen.
Right.
And Ethan Suplee and Scott Gorman not putting substances in their body over an extended period of time is an impossibility.
Right.
And yet this is real. What this is flesh and bone right now talking. And we're not horizontal and under a 6 feet of dirt. And anyway, so in that context, yes.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think recently I've been, there's a little bit more sciencey stuff to kind of explain all of this. But, you know, I think it's very easy for somebody who hasn't gone through it. And then we're going to get into this too, but the parallels with obesity and food addiction or whatever you want to call it, right? Because scientists are like, you can't actually be physically addicted to food. And I'm like, okay, well, my behavior is very much going to be contradictory to that statement.
Yeah. And people are dying in that vortex of, is it a disease? Is it that people are dying?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Well, the language doesn't matter.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. But the idea of choice. So like, you know, I go, yes, every time I did drugs, I had to make the choice to do drugs. But I don't think that's, you know, I think it's a bit of an easy thing to say when I'm still having to make the decision basically every day to be a sober person. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that it's just as simple as a choice, I think there's a lot more to it than that. You know what I mean? Like, and the same has been said about obesity, where it's like, well, this is a voluntary action. Mm-hmm. You're fat because you're volunteering to be fat. You're overeating. And, I think the idea is that as long as a person knows what's causing this, then they are utterly personally responsible for it. Now, I do believe in personal responsibility. I'm not trying to take personal responsibility out of it because I think that's the whole game. But I do think it's much more complicated than just going, I'm choosing to do this or I'm not choosing to do this.
Here's my explanation. God forbid you or I were diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And it would be like this. Hey, E, bow up, son. Get rid of that Hodgkin's. It's a matter of will. You can just get rid of it. Will it away. Will it away today. And suck it up. Because it's just a matter of choice. And that kills people. That stigma around substances, alcohol, gambling, porn, blah, 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 whatever it is these days.
Right.
Is no different in my mind in terms of the disease concept. It's just that's 39 years active in this recovery world. And so anyway, that's I get jacked about that.
And, yeah.
And I always use that with families that I work with around. Well, Ethan is great, but he just has to just stop.
Right.
Well, how do you do that? That's a multi-layered proposition.
Right. And it's probably not exactly the same for everyone.
Individually. Correct.
Right. Yep. And so, you know, when I think about the parallels, because I think there are so many parallels to weight loss, which has been my other biggest battle of my life. The first thing I had to confront, because it was killing me much quicker, were drugs and alcohol.
Yes.
I was going to die really fast. I call it
the slow drip.
Right.
For me, insulating with massive amounts of pounds and carrying it around is more of a slow drip to my internal organs, slow drip of death, than slamming 151 and doing an eight ball. That gets the organs moving in a hurry.
Right? Yeah.
And so that's why I look at that in my career. I got sober when I was 20 years old, and I had only drank and drugged for almost 7 years. But those were dog years.
Right.
Because to your point, I know you personally. I remember it to this day. When you know more than the PDR, than the physician's desk reference, because you were naming drugs, saying, I know if I take this amount, and then if I take this amount, then I'm going to be here. That's the only reason kids are dying today. You have to be a great chemist today.
Right.
An amazing chemist to take enough Vyvanse and Adderall to counteract the hydros in the brown tar that you're snorting, right?
Yeah.
That's why people, and then God forbid you get a little hot shot with some fentanyl. So,
man, fentanyl scares the shit out of me. And this is just an aside, but I've always been like, you know, not that I would ever want my kids to do drugs like that, but I want to be very, I don't want to more than anything, I don't want to get them into a situation where they don't feel like they can talk to me about anything.
Yes.
That's my strongest desire is, I want you to be able to communicate with me about anything. And then this fucking fentanyl comes on the scene. And it's like, there's no way. Cause I was an expert chemist with pharmacology.
Yeah.
You can't do that with fentanyl. And we even had fentanyl back then. We would have to get it out of a patch.
Yes.
Or stuck on a lollipop.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. So you knew exactly how much you were going to get. You knew not to mix it with stuff. But now if you just got stuff you're buying on the street that's loaded with it.
Yeah.
That's a really terrifying prospect.
Without question.
But in this universe where it seems like successful people are just making a choice and then remaking a choice and remaking a choice to get on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
How do we give that to another person? How do you know what I mean? And again, I do agree it's all individual, but at the end of the day, like if somebody wants to succeed, what are your ideas on giving them the tools that can help them succeed?
First and foremost, I try to convey of being able to catch the buzz of recovery. Remember whenever, what were those bars that we would go to and sit around those big, like at Laurel and Crescent Heights and Sunset?
Yes. I'm sure it's changed names.
You remember that?
Yeah.
But you know, that was like a buzz, and your boys would be hanging out all there, and there'd be a buzz around just being there.
Yeah.
I want to create that same kind of buzz around recovery, because this is my buzz today. Me being able to access some tear ducts and have, as my guys in the NFL say, Gorman, real talk. I want real talk coming from my belly and being able to express my love to you and our connection as human beings. That's a real 50,000 foot view.
Yeah.
Of what it is, the buzz of walking through a feeling. You mentioned it already. And I deal with it with the NFL guys all the time. When you go to a new city and you got released or cut, which means in the real world, you got fired.
Right.
You have to go to a new school. And it's the feelings are no different than just what you said on that John Q movie. You're in sixth grade and you're going to a new school. So how do I navigate those feelings without having to snort a hydro or do whatever to quiet those down? And so I don't know, but I want to hold guys' hands and just say, let's try this for a day and see what you think. And
yeah,
and just walk them through.
The feelings and the just the way life is experienced, I think that is such a big part of what substances were to me. Like I was so dissatisfied with the way life felt. And then the problem became when you come off of them. And by the way, this parallels perfectly to food too. It all fucking parallels, to be honest with you, for me, and I'm sure for other people. And so this conversation,
me too.
And so I really think of this conversation as a macro of all of it, right? If you're compulsively behaving around something that's ultimately harmful to you in your own determination,
then whatever I'm using to change the way that I feel.
Yeah.
Right? That's
right.
Fair.
Totally.
But whatever it is.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. If you can't sit comfortably with your wife, you got to go run 20 miles to get good with being around the people in your life. Even that could become unhealthy, I think.
100%.
But once through it, right, you make this decision. I can't, my life has become unmanageable. Whatever it is, whatever your moments where you go like, I need to change. You start down the path. The thing that always fucked me up, and it fucked me up on diets too.
Yeah.
Was that now in this new existence, I'm even more miserable than I recall being at when I was as bad off as I was. Do you know what I mean? Like, suddenly life is more miserable a couple weeks in. I haven't learned how to process how I feel about anything. I'm just experiencing pain all the time and discomfort. And it's like, this is where I failed so many times, Scott. Like, how do I get through that?
If I'm abstinent, this is all supposed to go away.
Right.
That's the narrative going in the squirrel cage. And it's not. It's like, so then what has to happen? I have to do something that goes against all of my DNA, which would be, back in the day, I had to carry quarters in the early 80s when I got into recovery to use on a payphone. And what I would do in that 2 week, that 3 week period, where my default, which would be, I'm thirsty, I'm going to change the way that I feel.
Right.
I want to rip on this bong. I want to do, whatever it is, I had to put the quarter in and say, hey, E, I'm thirsty.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared to go to this class. I'm scared to talk, to tell my girlfriend I'm breaking up with her. I'm scared that I'm not going to be able to pay rent today. I am angry at my mom. I am so pissed at my dad. How do you navigate those feelings early in recovery? And even 39 years in,
right.
It's the same. So I'm calling our dear friend, Danny Nooch. I'm on the blower with him. Say, Nooch, my hair's on fire.
Yeah.
And then he says the brilliant thing of, like, his mentor would say to him, hey, Danny, it's just Tuesday. Let's just do Tuesday. Right. So, yeah. Brilliant.
It pulls it all back into perspective, right?
Right. Anyway, so that's where, if people can hold on through just Tuesday by doing those kinds of things. And again, that's not my default, is not to open my mouth, emit air with words and feelings attached. I don't have that experience. I don't know about you. I didn't grow up in that family.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there was a guy named Jimmy R, who was a Teamster truck driver on the sets. And he'd say, you know, when I'm at the on the roach coach at 6 a.m. on the Warner lot, I'm not going around to my buds, you know, drinking coffee and eating breakfast burritos saying, hey, guys, I'm feeling a little vulnerable this morning. And that ain't happening.
Yeah. You know?
But with my brothers in recovery, I can do that. And that's where, in my opinion, where the healing takes place, and I can get through a day. Because, again, this is an important fact. As you know, nobody's going to tell Ethan Suplee or Scott Gorman what to do. Nobody.
Right.
But you explained it to me this way. Hey, kid, you can do whatever you want, whatever, as long as you're willing to pay the price.
Yeah.
The price gets pricey as we get closer and closer. And I don't like to use that term bottom. I use kind of beaten into a state of reasonableness. I like that.
That too.
Because for me, substance, alcohol, and food, they're the undefeated, super heavyweight champion of the free world. Undefeated. And in my mind, where that, you mentioned the word already, that ancient enemy rationalization, I'm thinking, you know what? I think I can take him today.
Right.
I'm going to go. And then he rips my arm off. And then he bites my shoulder in half. And then I'm late, you know, and it's like, here we go again. And then finally, that surrender process was able to happen, of accepting the fact that for whatever reason, ethyl alcohol, arguably the worst, most devastating drug on the planet, and other compounds, along with, for me, certain foods, they affect me different than my fellows.
Yeah.
And accepting that took a while.
The most heartbreaking thing, and I've had friends who have, you know, gone out of recovery, who have gone like, I'm okay now.
Yeah.
And I've had a few instances where I'm like, you know, I'm not worried about you. That's happened. But to the friends who I'm like, no, bro, I don't say this. This is all internal, but I go like, dude, you need this so much. And then a year later, they're just fixed, quote unquote, right? They're cured or whatever it is. Yeah. And then they start back down on that path. It's heartbreaking. And I imagine you know, I try to take my parents' perspective and go like, how many times did they sit down with me and go, we know what you're doing. We're worried about you. And I'm going, you know, put on my best PR cap. And I'm going like, no, I'm perfectly fine. I have everything.
Yeah, you can string some sentences together very eloquently.
Yeah. And I'm telling them I'm fine. And, you know, I think with food, this is another thing. I don't go around judging people's weight. I do know, some people have come to me and gone, I'm at my wit's end. Can you help me? And I'll go like, yeah, sure. Fuck anything you need. You want to check in with me every day and we'll make a plan and we'll talk and all of this. And then, you know, a few weeks go by and I don't hear from them. And it's a little bit heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You know, how do you deal with that?
Johnny Appleseed.
Right.
It's part of the process.
Yeah.
It's part of, because I've had guys who said to me that, remember, you know, in 2000, when you said this to me, it's stuck in there somewhere, but it wasn't ready to be applied that day.
Yeah.
But then being able to turn back and look at all of the times for me when I got in trouble and look at this snowball, there was one or two things always present. So being able to look at that, and that's how can I really show my love with my guys, my bros, my friends, my family, is tell them the truth as I see it from a place of just massive love.
Yeah.
And then leave it alone. And because I know you don't like to get bull rushed. I don't like to get bull rushed. And it's just a matter of planting those seeds. I've done a eulogy at the DGA on Sunset with an amazing actor who I just saw in Holes, and he's dead, you know, and you've been to those.
Yeah.
You've had some gifted people in your life that are not on the planet anymore. And it breaks my heart. You know, that there was a guy named Scott R in Studio City. He was an amazing, eloquent speaker in recovery. And he'd say, I judge no man. Right. And so I don't judge any, what I feel when I see like an old timer, long-term recovery guy who's struggling with the weight, I just want to hug him and whisper in his ear, you know?
Yeah.
I got you. Let's go do this, you know? But those are that quiet desperation that, you know, and here's the other move. I was thinking about it today. I don't have to do this move anymore.
Right. By the way, bro, I still do that. I catch myself doing it and I'm like, what am I even doing? I don't need to do this.
Because you've been doing it for 40 plus years. So it's like, it's those kinds of things. And that's where the parallel of eating disorder and substance and alcohol use disorder for me. And I don't know how you want to pivot, but much before those six warm Millers I drank in ninth grade with my face covered as Paul Stanley of Kiss, and I slammed those six warm Millers, and it was Valhalla. Yeah. That night I got in a fist fight with Rich W, who was the toughest kid at school, and I was making out with Mary W, the prettiest cheerleader. That's what alcohol did for me. And it was like, oh, but before then, growing up in an Italian and Irish house of UAW workers and Teamsters, was a volatile house, and a box of Cap'n Crunch would take the edge off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That was my first love. For
a
sure.
box of a bag of Bugles would a bot, you know, bags and boxes. We always talk about that. And then I got it in spades. You know, I was 268 pounds in that picture.
Yeah.
Les miserables. But hey, shucking and jiving, things are good. I'm sober. I'm doing the deal, bub. And then I had a whole secret world. My wife was a baker, in Indianapolis when I was with the team there. And she was on the cover of Indianapolis Monthly. I mean, like, world-class baker. And she had like this cream cheese frosting, and she would mix, make carrot cookie cake sandwiches with it and put toasted pecans in it.
Oh my God.
And coach, I would freaking sneak And now I'm at the time sober like 20 plus years.
Right.
I'd be sneaking at night, and then she'd see me the next day or something, and I'd have cream cheese frosting on, and she'd say, "Do you know what happened to the cream cheese?" I'm like, "No, no idea." Yeah. Full on lie, full on all of that secret world of the food, which brought me to my knees. And the only way that it turned around for me, and it's over 7 years ago, and that was in 1992, so over 10 years when I first started to look at food, because if you look at the chart, it's a freaking yo-yo, you know?
Right.
And so that's the secretiveness, because it's not that's what I tell guys now, that secret world, that's what kills us.
Yeah.
Right?
I never did drugs out in the open. I just wasn't, you know, there'd be a guy I knew and we would do drugs together, or a girl and we'd do drugs together. But it was always secret. And most of my drug use, I was doing it, you know, in a bathroom stall or in my house, away from people. That is exactly how I ate. Also, I would go out to dinner with people and order something that I would think I wouldn't get judged for ordering, and have a plan. I would be making a plan on what fast food restaurants were open. And if I go home this way, I'll hit a McDonald's, a 24-hour McDonald's. But if I go this way, it's a little longer, but there's a Wendy's. And what do I feel like tonight? And, you know, if I feel really, culinarily adventuresome, I'd hit the Astro Burger on Melrose and Gower that's open till 4 a.m. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I was thinking about. And it was all in secret.
Tough way to live. And that's the whole world. And then being able, and then there's the, back to what you had said about how do we bring people in? It's me identifying with you and you identifying with me. And I feel like I'm not the only maggot on the planet that has thought, felt, or done the things that we've done just around food.
Right.
This me digging out of, how about this move? And I don't talk about this stuff, my food stuff, but I am today. And I thank you for that, because it's killing, guys, killing. But me digging, like making a commitment, you know what? I'm throwing that vat of almond butter out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Growing up as a kid, my mom would never let us have real cereal. When I say real cereal, I mean the stuff that you'd find at a normal grocery store. My mom would get us the cardboard shavings at the health food store, and I was always miserable with my cereal. And then I would magically go to my friend's house, and they would have real cereal. And I would be so envious, and I would sit and eat bowl after bowl of delicious frosted goodness, sugary, wonderful stuff. And then I grew up and I was able to buy my own cereal, but that lasted all of 2 minutes, because then I started dieting, so cereal left my life entirely. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. Now there's Magic Spoon, which is high protein cereal. My favorite flavor is their peanut butter. It's incredible. Variety pack. Four flavors are cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Only 140 calories a serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar, keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, and soy free. It's incredible. Go to magicspoon.com/glutton and grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code GLUTTON at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start your day off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/glutton and use the code GLUTTON to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
And then me diving.
Yeah.
Garbage diving, right? And eating out of the garbage. After making a commitment on my children, I'm going to stop this. Right. And then being powerless over that, back to your word, choice, over that choice. Could not, that compulsion is so massive. It's me thinking that just because I'm the great Scott Gorman, I can stop the avalanche at the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I need your help.
Scott, there are times I remember, you know, I think about this. Did I make an analytical choice every time I did drugs? And I just know I didn't, because I'd have points where I'd get in my car and I'd be saying to myself, and I've done it both with drugs and food, I am not going to buy drugs. This is what I'm saying.
I believe you.
And then then the blackout starts, and then the blackout ends, and I'm in my car doing drugs, or I'm in my car and I've just gone through the drive-thru and I've got a sack of Carl's Jr. food.
Yeah.
And I've kind of snapped into the present, holding, you know, reaching into a bag from the drive-thru, going, holy shit, I've thrown it out the window. And then I actually had to drive over it. Because I knew that if it was just sitting there on the ground, I could still go and get it. But if I drove over it, that would be enough. But but there's no choice there. I'm not making analytical choices. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the ability to make choices is just different than, it's certainly different than my ability to make choices today, having some distance, even though I still am having to create my life in the present every day. It's still, today it's Tuesday and I'm just doing Tuesday.
Amen.
Right? Thank God for just having to deal with today. Because if I start thinking about 2 weeks from now, it's like, what the fuck, or what's the point?
Yeah. We were talking before you started recording about the trick with food. And because I love this saying in the world of eating disorder recovery, we got to walk the tiger 3 times a day.
Yeah.
And I literally, I'm a very visual person. And, you know, me just having a leash on a freaking 450 pound white Siberian tiger, right? And it's here, be a good little kitty. Come on now.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a conscious, you know, I'll go into all that kind of stuff. I know. And there's things are firing us so much, but there's men who play professional football suffering once they leave the game.
Right.
It's okay to be 370. And you're 6'7", and you're playing left tackle, and you're protecting Matthew Stafford from getting his head decapitated. But then day one, after you leave the building and you're not working out, and you're having to, that's where guys balloon to 4 bills, and then sleep apnea, hypertension, heart disease, blah, 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 blah. You know it better than anybody. And so those are the things that there's a friend of mine named Nick Hardwick. I'm going to mention to you, give you his intel, but he was the center for the San Diego Chargers for well over a decade and is now, you know,
wow,
doing the deal and helping guys.
Right.
Because that's, you know, it better than anybody. Peer to peer, that's where the magic happens. And that's another thing that I try, and when new people are coming into recovery from whatever it is, they're not alone. We can giggle, we can laugh, we can joke about dumpster diving, we can, of which is the essence of where the shame is.
Yeah.
Let's go, we can go into that shame rabbit hole for another hour, right? And how I feel and the self-talk and all of that. But having peers walking together on this, home run.
Yeah. So that's, I think this is an important thing to kind of get into also, because I put off recovery a number of times because I couldn't go to a meeting intoxicated. And I felt that I needed to get sober first. And I felt that I had so much shame, and I felt that I needed to show up having done the work already. And very similarly with food, I have been many times unwilling to discuss it until I've accomplished something, until I've gotten, you know, I'm going to lose 20 pounds, then I'll start to seek help. Does that make sense?
Yes.
How do we defeat that shame? Like, look, having done it, I know that's the last place I ever need to feel ashamed.
Right.
You can't make me feel ashamed there. You know what I mean? Like, I could try so hard to find the worst shit I've done, and the reaction from people is going to be like, yep, been there.
Yeah, or this, I did that, and then...
Right.
Then they freaking one up you. You know, it's like, oh my,
you're like,
and you know the best screenwriters in Los Angeles. You've been privy to them your whole life. They cannot make up the shit that we have done that is based on, that's fact. They can't make it up.
You wouldn't believe
it. Great minds can't make it up and put it on paper, right? Is that fair?
No, I think it's 100% fair. And that's why I don't understand it in myself, because it happened to me over and over again. I finally show up and I'm like, fuck, why didn't I come here a month ago? Or why didn't I come here the last seven times I had the idea I need to go there? Or with a diet, when my diet's failing, and I'm like, well, now I can't talk to them, because now I can't reach out for help because I'm failing. I have to be in that sense of shame is overwhelming to the point where I'm failing simply due to my perceptions of my own shame.
So how can we help that? How can I help that as a person in recovery? If I'm involved in a recovery meeting of any type and whatever that looks like for anybody, I have to make sure that I'm not putting out anything but openness and love, because the only requirement for membership at many of these programs is a desire to stop whatever. That's all it, that's, you want to get in the door? Have a desire to stop. You're in. You are a full-fledged, you are a card-carrying member because you just said so.
Right.
Period. And I think that gets lost in the translation, because you want to have a perfect score before you go to the, you know, you want to have been able to bench 250 before you go to
the gym,
Gold's Gym.
Yeah.
Right? And say, and then you can only do 45 on the bar, and you're just like, just the shame spiral.
Right.
And the reality is, dude, you just did 7 reps on an Olympic bar and you've never lifted weights before. You know, that's in me. It's insane. Right.
Yeah.
So again, the hamster wheel, my own hamster wheel, is not based in reality a lot of the time. So
Yeah, it's a funny thing that we do. The other thing I've been thinking a lot about is, and it's something that I dealt with numerous times, and then I've seen people dealing with it. And, you know, I don't do this podcast as a prescriptive thing. I'm not trying to say everybody should be sober, everybody yeah. should lose weight. I don't think that, I don't believe that, but I do think that I've found a lot of benefit in having somebody else to talk to that has some idea of what I've gone through.
Mm.
And so the times where I've gone like, no, I can do this in a vacuum by myself. I can fight through it. I don't need to talk to anybody. I don't need to have somebody to be accountable to. I don't need that. I've had trouble and failures. And so what would your words be on that?
To walk through the uncomfortable of picking that thing up. That you've heard that term before.
Yeah.
The 600-pound deadlift to pick that up.
The phone. Yeah.
Right. And literally emitting air out of my body with words attached. Boom. It dissipates. If it's a compulsion, if it's a thought, if it's an idea, if it's a desire, if I say, I was thinking about going to In-N-Out today, and you know, it's sort of on my food program. It's sort of, and I'm just really like, I'm driving there right now. And then you would lovingly say to me, "Well, let's talk that all the way through.
Right.
Let's see what that really looks like. And then what does the order look like? And then you break it down to me. And then what is the feeling?" When the consumption is happening, what does that feel like? And then the magic, what does it feel like when you're driving home and you get home and you're looking in the mirror? What's that feel like?
Right? Yeah.
So, and that all happens like that in a few second conversation. And that's what I just urge people, you know, that's the one thing. Well, those abstinence-based 12-step programs don't work. True for many people, but on the flip, it does work for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And it's not a one size fits all. It's in my opinion these days is take the best, leave the rest, see what you can do. If moderation management, if any of those harm reduction, if any of that stuff helps keep you vertical, I'm in.
Me too.
And then if in fact that doesn't work, after your beta test, then there's other options. And for me, the abstinence part of things, Ethan, I just don't have a governor on my engine. Right. I've accepted that about me. I taught my wife and I taught my daughter and son rudimentary sign language when they were, you know, young.
Just oh, nice.
To try and communicate.
Yeah.
And my daughter, this is the one she learned the fastest. More. I want more.
Yeah.
And that's, I have a disease of Mas, you know?
Yeah.
Of freaking, thinking of, it just reminded me of Paquito Mas.
Paquito Mas. That's what I thought too. You say Mas, that's all that says to me.
Oh God, yes. I would take Paquito deep on freaking Coldwater and Ventura.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. I think back to, instances in my life, and I know you don't like bottom, and I can't even really point to like a moment that was my bottom. I remember very clearly the day that I wanted to lose weight, and I've never turned back from that day.
Yeah,
I don't remember with drugs. It's because I was doing drugs. So it's a little bit hazy. Those times are a little bit hazy, but I do remember, a very dear friend of mine, Harold, Harold Pruitt, who OD'd in a bathroom as we were buying drugs, and I gave him CPR. And I remember sitting in the bathroom, and he lived at that point. I remember sitting with him thinking, like, what the fuck are we doing? And then we kept doing drugs, and he died. No. And then we kept doing, and then I kept doing drugs. And so there's a lot of the universe sending flares, sending messages, sending signals, like, this path is fraught with danger. And I just know my ability to ignore those signals is unparalleled. Nothing would get in my way. And I thank God or whatever that I've been able to get my claws into life a little bit more. And the food is the same thing. You know, I had sleep apnea, hypertension, high cholesterol, liver failure, and not quite liver failure, but it was like on my blood work. I was right there.
Fatty liver or whatever. Yeah.
Really bad. Congestive heart failure. And these things were not enough in those moments to get me to change. It took something else, but I did have finally the thing that was it for me. And I've been able to make that change. And there really is, like, to your point, like, yeah, because more talking about health and stuff, if you can get your health into order and eat, you know, animal style double doubles at In-N-Out, that's great. I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know,
the acceptance of that fact.
Right.
That's the process to get to that place where I'm waving the surrender, which is not part of my DNA, by the way.
Yeah.
If I surrender to you, Ethan, I will die.
Right.
That's the default. And then you guys say surrender to win. Or vulnerability wins. And I'm like, no, vulnerability gets you killed. Right. It's totally opposite. And accepting the fact that for whatever reason in the universes, whatever that power is, whatever connects me, if we're spiritual beings having a human experience, whatever that is. And that's another whole side note of that kills a lot of folks, I think. Verbiage.
Yeah.
Just verbiage around whatever entity is connecting all of this stuff. If in fact there is even something, who knows?
Right.
It's a whole nother topic. But.
And for me, it's completely unnecessary because Scott, you and me is a power higher than just me on my own. You and I beat me. That's the way I think about it. And if I got a teammate, we're going to do better than me by myself.
As corny as this is, I can't, we can. So it's all those little freaking sayings. What are they based on? Either based on fundamental truths of 3,000 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's what's going on today.
When we think about walking the tiger, because it has, you know, I don't want to say it's easy because I don't think abstinence is easy. It's certainly not easy for somebody who's in it, right? I do believe it has for me. My experience has been that it has gotten easier.
Yes.
Still wouldn't really call it easy. My life is very different. And if you had asked me when I was 21 years old, how I wanted to be experiencing my life, I couldn't even imagine what my life is now and how much more I like it than what I would have said at 21, right? It's just vastly different. But in the way that my life is organized now, there's lots of room for abstinence. There's no way to achieve abstinence with food. You said it, you got to walk the tiger three times a day. It's a very, very, you know, I think of it in terms of danger, and I do actually think it's dangerous. It can be dangerous. And if we aren't, you know, taking a real honest look at our behaviors and our actions and our, and things that will sidetrack us, we're gonna have setbacks.
Yeah.
How do you walk the tiger? What do you do? How do you safeguard that tiger? Do you have a muzzle on him?
It's no, he's wide open. It's a, he's got a leash.
Yeah.
And I'm walking him. But I also have, as I'm walking him,
right,
I have somebody on the other line. I write down what I eat.
Yeah.
I share it. There's an accountability and a connectivity, two things, two concepts that are massive part of recovery. And you know that. And it's think about it this way. In every gym on the planet, I got a workout buddy.
Right.
Because I said, E, I'm going to be at, what was that one? What was that gym at Laurel and Sunset?
Crunch.
I'm going to meet you at Crunch at 5:30 a.m., Ethan.
Yeah.
And at 5:20, I'm still in the rack, and I'm thinking, you know, I've been working hard, and I can just, I'll tell you that, you know what, I'm a little nauseous, right, you know, and I'll lie to him. And you're sitting there, and you're jacked, and you're ready, and you're waiting because that day we're working on personal bests, and I'm laying in the rack. And it's that same thing, that workout buddy gets my ass out of the bed, into the car, into the parking structure, up the elevator, into the gym.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with my food, and that's on a daily basis. It's just a Tuesday thing, you know? And today I had an amazing breakfast that filled me up. And that's the whole thing, is you experience, and I've seen you on the old IG about opening the mind around tastes and food and preparation and all that, because I didn't want, what's the essence of fast food? Now, I want it now.
Right.
And then now to be able to prepare food and take the time and not have to shove it into my body. Those are all those kinds of things that you guys have taught me, my fellows in recovery, doing the deal on the daily. That's where my power comes from.
Yeah.
And being able to stack days on that, because I love how I feel. I can feel my body. I can feel vibrations in my body. And I was so desensitized, insulated from feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a dad and being a husband, feelings are flying on the daily.
Oh, man.
And so we're choosing not to do this, to stuff them down, or to put a rig in our arm, or to slam a 1.75 handle all day long. We're choosing to walk through those feelings. And you help me with that, because you get on the blower and say, you know what, I was kind of a toolbox to my wife, or, you know, and I have people that I talk to about that.
Yeah.
And so
I, you know, I feel, again, I don't think there is a one size fits all, and I don't think everybody has to do the same thing. I do. And I think it's less so with drugs and alcohol that I see this, but there is a whole industry built up about, I guess, the reduction in work for, this is what I think of the diet industry, that it's really like a bunch of get rich quick schemes, or like, how can you how can you get all the benefits and do as little work as possible? And it's selling this idea that there is like one tweak that your behaviors go out the window. You know what I mean? Like, however you've been living your life, that will no longer happen if you just, you know, just don't eat seed oils or, you know, whatever it is. There's lots of them. How do those make you feel when like you're having success and it's work? It's actual work, you know, writing down. Look, I write down what I eat too. And I can't tell you that that's super easy. It's not, you know what I mean? Like it takes time to do that. And also then, makes me have to go like, fuck, I had more mayonnaise, more light mayonnaise. I don't want to write that down. I don't want to include that. You know what I mean?
I don't want to cop to that.
Exactly. But I got to.
Because what? Because my life's on the line.
Right.
Our lives are on the line with substances, with alcohol, and with food. And I don't want to be part of, I want to be vertical. I want to see what my children do the rest of their lives. I want to be vertical. I have obesity in my family. It tears my heart apart. And why do I put up with catching shit from, why are you eating salad? Why are you eating a salad that I call it a BAS on
big
holiday.
Big ass salad.
Big ass salad, which I love and I know you love. And it's just, it's filling and it's got protein and it's got, why do you got to do, you're so strict. Because my life's on the line.
Right.
And it came to that. And that's where that finally being beaten into that place. Where, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. And that's the part around substances and alcohol. It's a faster demise. Right. And you and I have known some of the most talented people on the planet that are dead, you know? And I get fired up and emotional, and it's I don't like doing eulogies, and I know you don't either. Because what I get scared of my, there's the buzzer and the second period of play. I get scared of losing my friends.
Yeah.
And if you stay in recovery long enough, that's part of the deal. It's just one of my meetings I go to lost another young kid, you know? And
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I fucking appreciate you so much, Scott.
Yeah, I love you, bud. It's just like, that's the part of this too. We can cut 22 years and be in the same place. And that's where you want, think about this. You want to be, you know, the Grand Havana Room or any of the Buffalo Club. Remember back in the day, all the exclusive, you want to be an exclusive club, the most exclusive club, come into the Club of Recovery. Because think about the cost to get in.
Yeah.
It cost you your word. It cost you your dignity. Cost you a bunch of jack. Think about the jack. It's a lot, the expenses to get in. The entry fee is massive.
Massive.
And then to get in though now, it's the greatest one on the planet, in my humble opinion. I always use this with NFL players. You want a competitive advantage? They're always looking for a competitive advantage. Right. Because as you know, it's nanoseconds, it's immeasurable. Competitive advantage, not come to out of a blackout and then go have to play the Rams.
Right.
Right. Just let's talk about the physical parts of how ethyl alcohol demolishes your body from inside out.
Yeah.
So I'm able to incorporate that, doing bong rips all day and damaging your freaking engine, the very thing to be able to process oxygen and carbon dioxide. You're on like, and I know it's not a problem because you told me it's not a problem, right? It's not, right. No, it's, I can stop anytime. Okay. Let's do a beta test
right
for 17 weeks of this season. And we're just going to shut it down and see how well you perform.
Yeah.
A kid has done that for 2 years now and just signed $100 million deal.
Right. I bet it's staggering the amount that he sees as a difference.
Yes. And the advantage, he's like, man, I wish I would have done this earlier. It's that kind of stuff. But he didn't get to that place. A lot of guys can't get to that place of being beaten until it's too late, because in the NFL, average career is 3.2, you know?
3.2 years.
Yeah. NFL stands for not for long.
Right.
And so it's kind of, anyway, that's a whole nother topic. But
Scott, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful conversation. And I really, really appreciate you.
Thank you.
And now for the Q&A.
Here's a question for you from Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Amy says, hi, Ethan. I've been paying more attention lately to the ingredients in my food. I live in an area where we don't have what you might call a health food store, and my local grocery store has pretty limited organic options. I know at the end of the day, it's probably just about calories, but I do want to be better about the ingredients I eat, just a bit harder where I live. Do you have any advice on things I should avoid or things to be aware of? Thanks.
Yes. I mean, my kind of rule of thumb is just to try and find stuff with as few ingredients as possible. So the majority of the food I eat is one ingredient food type. So if I'm going to have ground beef, it's just ground beef, or a steak, it's just beef, or rice, it's just rice, or broccoli, that's just broccoli. Occasionally I'll get into like some sauces, but even those I just, with something like that, I'm just really thinking about calorie count, because that's like supplemental. It's a very, very small piece of the overall meal. I try to just have as much as possible my food not being super processed and super full of other stuff. That's what I do. I don't really get into, I go to the grocery store, and if I think that, the organic stuff doesn't look super fresh and then the non-organic stuff looks really fresh, I will just get the non-organic stuff. But I'm talking about stuff with no ingredient, or what the ingredient is just whatever you call it, right? That's okay. It. That's the only ingredient. There are a few things that I'll eat, like yogurt that's got a few ingredients, and sauces. And I'm racking my brain to think of anything. There's these sausages I like called Balinski's. And I like them because they're high in protein, low in fat, and they're not even advertised that way. It's so crazy. Like, I look at these things and I'm like, do you guys realize this is a diet sausage and it's delicious? You get a sausage, it's like 80 calories. It's got, you know, I think 10 to 14 grams of protein, maybe even more than that. And like 2 or 3 grams of fat. That is not the average kind of macro makeup of a sausage. Usually a sausage has a ton of fat in it, and these don't. And so they're great. And I just think like Belinsky is missing out on advertising these to people on a diet, because forever I would just like gloss over the sausage section. Like that's just not something I'm eating, because it's so full of fat and nitrates and other things. I'm not super worried about chemicals, because everything's a chemical at the end of the day. Anything you put into your body is just chemicals. And so I think we make these distinctions, and they don't make a lot of sense to me. But at the same time, I want to eat as little processed food as possible, because a lot of the stuff in it is mostly because it's going to be higher in fat or sugar than protein, and or not super filling. Like, even if I get a protein bar that's got a ton of protein and little fat and little carbohydrates, it doesn't fill me up in the same way that a chicken breast and some vegetables would. And so I'm thinking about that too. But my suggestion is just to eat as much as you can of things that have no ingredients other than whatever you're calling it.
Right. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I often forget about people who have limited options and live in a different city or different part of America where it's just different than what we have in bigger cities. So that's super helpful. Love it.
Yeah. No, listen, if you are shopping at a 7-Eleven, this can be difficult. Mm-hmm. Right? Or a convenience store. Mm-hmm. This can be difficult because there's really not a lot of stuff with one ingredient, but there will be fruit typically at a gas station. You can find some apples or bananas or something like that. Maybe some lunch meat that's minimally processed. You know, I try to stay away from lunch meat that even has a bunch of ingredients. If it's just turkey breast, then I'm happy with it. Mm-hmm. And then the next best thing is like turkey breast and salt. And like, I go like, okay, great. But when you start getting into a ton of ingredients, I'm not even saying that it's like, I'm not making a distinction on whether it's good or bad for you. It's just stuff that isn't what I'm trying to eat, right? But I think if you have access to a grocery store, you have the periphery of the interior of the grocery store, which is typically one ingredient items, lettuce, onions, tomatoes. Those things have one ingredient. Meat, poultry, those things have one ingredient. And then you could go to grains. And I'm even talking about like I do eat bread sometimes. And when I eat bread, I actually sadly get the bread with a shitload of ingredients, because that way it typically has, you know, a better calorie count for me. And so then I just go like, I don't want to eat this all the time. This is like a specialty item, and I'm going to think of it like a sauce. Like, I'm not going to eat mostly ketchup. I'm going to eat mostly lean ground beef and put a little bit of ketchup on it, mm-hmm. right? And then even then you can find like even Heinz now makes a ketchup with no sugar added. That's not maybe as low in calories as like a quote unquote diet ketchup, but it's pretty low in calories compared to a your standard ketchup that's full of fructose and stuff. What's the high, what, you know what I'm talking about?
Corn syrup.
Yeah. I don't want corn syrup in my ketchup if I can get it without. And so I get that one. That's my suggestion, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Okay. Well, Amy, let us know if you find some of those options or any other question you may have about it. And I actually really like to know, I just realized you saying Heinz, even Heinz has a version, like that's a reminder that even some of these brands that we've always known to typically maybe be full of other things, they are all coming out with some versions now of like, you know, better, less ingredients, let's say.
Yeah, I wouldn't say better, but I would say less.
Yeah, not better. Right. Yeah. See?
I mean, who knows? Maybe it's better. It's better for someone. It's better for
someone. Me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. If you
but
have
it's
a
not
question.
Better. I'll tell you who it's not. Sorry, Paige. I'll tell you who it's not better for. It's not better for my children. They hate it. They boycott it. They shame me over it. And I go like, great. Well, you have the majority of the fridge and I have my little section. Don't touch my no sugar added ketchup.
That's right. Stick to your side of the fridge, kids.
Yeah. Don't touch my G Hughes barbecue sauce when your crappy high fructose corn syrup barbecue sauce runs out. You don't get to touch my low-cal barbecue sauce.
Damn right. Love it. Okay. Well, if you have a question that you would like answered on this podcast by Ethan, please email it to us at AmericanGlutton.net.
Thanks for listening to this episode of American Glutton. I'm Ethan Suplee. You can follow us on Instagram at American Glutton Podcast. Sincerely.